thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. I love that verse. Let's pray. Father, would you just drive this home into our hearts this morning? Show us our need. Show us your ability to meet the need. Your sovereign, sufficient ability to meet our spiritual, our greatest needs. Thank you for the music, every part of it, the offertory, the ladies' message of music, the choir message, the music that we've sung together as a body. It's just all lifted our hearts toward you and toward your word and to thy spirit. We pray that we might listen carefully today and speak to us and move amongst us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So revival is on our hearts this morning. We have revival meetings. In fact, we have one scheduled next March with Jerry Savinsky. I've asked him to preach because I had him in my first church back in Kansas when nobody could understand what he was saying. In fact, his speech teachers in college said, you can do anything, but you can't preach. He had a heavy Lithuanian accent, and he just... We had a building bigger than this, size-wise, when I was in Wichita, and a congregation smaller than this. It didn't get that way after I came as pastor. It was before I came, and I thought I could turn it around. That's a long story. But anyway, he came, and after the first service, people came and said, Pastor, we can't understand a word he's saying. Well, other people said it too in other churches, so he just decided to memorize every message word for word, speak very distinctly so that everybody could hear and understand his heavy Lithuanian accent. And he's been doing that for 50 plus years. People could understand him. He preaches about 18 minutes. You can set the oven at home by it because he won't speak longer than that, but he gets the message across. But he's a revivalist. I love him. He was a classmate of mine, and he'll be. But we can have revival before he comes. Amen. We can have and should have revival every single time we meet together, and we have revival in our homes. But we need it certainly in America today. And the need for revival is personal. It's pressing, and it is pervasive. I had to get my outline down here. You got maybe have it up there, but I can't read backwards. So, notice he says in verse our text today, the psalmist says, "Though I think four times in that little verse, the personal pronoun I, me, or my, or mine is used. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, it's a very personal statement before God. He's talking about himself. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of revival. I am walking in the midst of trouble." It's a personal need. It is pervasive. It's all around us. It's not just you. It's not just our church. It's everywhere. There's everywhere that we, circles that we move in, especially. I don't know of any church really. I'm sure there is someone out there that doesn't need a fresh movement of the Spirit of God upon them, within them, in their midst. Because we as a people are walking in the midst of people that are in trouble. It is pervasive. Now, it's not new. Sometimes we get the feeling like it's never been this bad before. It has been. It has been. It's going to get worse, too, by the way. We'll be out of here, I think, before the worst comes. We talked about that, the tribulation. We're not going to be here for that. But the world is, even before the tribulation, men are waxing worse and worse. But I read these words about America just after the Revolutionary War. We would have thought there had been a great revival. But here's what one historian named Edwin Orr said. After the War of Independence, the influence of Christianity waned. According to historian J. Edwin Orr, quote, "In the wake of the American Revolution came a disastrous setback for evangelical Christianity. The typical student at Harvard, which was begun as a training station for ministers, a typical student at Harvard was atheist," says Orr. "Students of Williams College, another College started to train Christian ministers, conducted a mock celebration of Holy Communion. When the Dean of Princeton opened the chapel Bible to read, a pack of playing cards fell out. Christians were so unpopular, you think you're alone today? Well, we are in a sense, but then, Christians were so unpopular that they met in secret and kept their minutes in code. The radical leader of deist students led a mob in burning the Bible. The last two decades of the 18th century, think of it, 1780, 90, 1800. The last two decades of that century were the darkest period spiritually and morally in the history of American Christianity. We think it's bad today, it was worse. Christian colleges were just apostate. Then God sent another revival, the Second Awakening. It swept over the frontier, turned Ivy League schools upside down, and launched a new generation into global ministry. It's true to say that the Western world is only now shaking off the effects of the Second Great Awakening. And we can only say, Lord, do it again. May there be a third Great Awakening. We need revival in our country. But the psalmist said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, he was in the midst of it. It surrounded him. We do too. We walk in the midst of trouble. Political, yes. Not so much economic today. It seems like we're on an uptick there, but we know that that can change any moment. But most of all, spiritual and moral degeneracy and decline in our churches, with our young people. And you go to a Christian gathering and it seems like it's a sea of white hairs. Not so much here today. We got a pretty good group here, cross-section of ages. But that's just kind of the way it is. I mean, as Christian people, as believers, as evangelical, if you want to use the term, or as fundamentalists, as Bible believers, we're in the midst of it. And it's not just isolated to here, it's worldwide. It's worldwide. So the psalmist was talking about a situation that was very near to him, and he was just bringing us up to date with what was. He said, "Thou wilt revive me, though I'm walking in the midst of this trouble." So it was pervasive, it was pressing, it was right now today, and it is still today with us, and God help us with another great awakening. But notice he said, there is a solution. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies. The solution is personal repentance. Because with revival always comes repentance. Revival always is accompanied by soul searching, by confession of sin, by personal repentance before God. Turn us back to Psalm 82. And psalmist says it in another place in the same way. But he says in Psalm 82, the last verse, "Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Turn us. He's acknowledging that there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a turning from our wicked ways. As God said to Solomon, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways." What way is it in your life that you need to turn from? Just inventory right now. Personal question. Ask yourself. Because there's something in every one of our lives that we probably need to turn from. It may be hindering revival in our own personal life. That's where it starts. He said, "Turn us and we shall be saved." He acknowledges that we can't turn ourselves. It's got to be God turning. He does the work. All we do is yield. All we do is say, put ourselves in a place that is where he wants us, and he will do the rest. Another man said, "Today's sophisticated churchgoers can shop through the religious page of a Saturday paper and find out what will be playing next in the various churches on Sunday. We've noticed that sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between the religious page and the amusement page. On the religious page, it can be noticed that certain gospel celebrities are in town, and it tells where they're appearing. Church is very fortunate to have a guest appearance by a gospel celebrity. These celebrities usually appear in exchange for privileges of plugging the latest record, books, or religious trinkets. Broken down entertainers who could not make it in the show business have found that they can make it in churches. Well, that may be true and probably is, but we need to meet. When we need to meet, we need to hear from God. We don't need entertainment. We need our music. We need the Word of God. Turn us, O God, and we shall be turned. Revive us, and we shall be saved. Vance Havner was a great preacher of yesteryear. He said, "We hear much about revival these days, but the heart of revival is the Lordship of Jesus Christ." Think of that. A mere emotional upheaval, a spurt of religious excitement is not revival. When Christians become convicted for rebellion against the rule of Christ in their lives, confess their sins, renounce self, take the cross of Jesus, and let Him have the first and the last word in our lives, then that is revival, Vance Havner said, by whatever word you want to call it. Notice our text again, Psalm 138, and the psalmist says, "Stretch forth thine hand. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies." He's fighting our battles for us. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Satan is a ever-present enemy, and his demons and his devilish ways. But when we get on our knees and seek God's face and seek His help and realize that our solution to the trouble that we're in now is spiritual and comes from God, not manipulation of events or even politics or elections. I think they're important, but they're not the final solution. It's God's help. God's help. We say, "Oh God, stretch forth Your hand on the behalf of me for my enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear, for Thou art with me. Thy rod, they comfort me." He's going to be with us when we face the worst of enemies and all enemies. And oh God, help us. Help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of Your might. We can't work up revival. It's not, as Vance Edwards said, a spurt of emotion. It's heartfelt confession of sin and abandonment of rebellion against God's will and word. Obedience to His plan and purpose for our life. Oh, God, help us. God, help us to do that. When can we expect revival? When there is a want of brotherly love and Christian confidence among professors of religion, then revival is needed. Let me share you who gave this. I'm not sure I have the, I don't know, but listen to these. Somebody said this is when we need revival. When there are dissensions, jealousies, evil speakings amongst those who profess the name of Jesus, we need revival. When there's a worldly spirit in the church, I don't sense that here, but there could be. But by the grace of God, there will be a worldly spirit because we're so immersed and enmeshed in the world every single day. When the church finds its members falling into gross and scandalous sins, I don't find that here, but it could be. But by the grace of God, it will be. Revival may be expected when Christians have a spirit of prayer for revival. When Christians begin to confess sins to one another, and when Christians are found willing to make sacrifices necessary for God to work in revival, then revival will come. God help us. So the psalmist said, "You're going to stretch forth your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me," he said. Revival, the solution is personal repentance, spiritual renewal. have our first love renewed, spiritual renewal, loving to be with God personally, alone, in fellowship, loving to be in His Word, loving to be in church. That's a novel idea in 2018. Loving to be in church. Remember how you used to love to come to church to hear the Bible preached? Couldn't get enough of it? Some of you remember that. I do. Most of you do. Church was not something you had to go to every Sunday morning at 10:50, but it's something you couldn't wait to get to. Church. Loving to. Loving fellowship. Never having enough fellowship after church, before church, whenever you get with God's people just to share things in common. Loving to be with missionaries and hearing their testimonies and getting up close and personal with God's servants. Preachers of old never had to beg people to entertain missionaries. People fought to get to the list first to sign up. Now we have blanks for days and days and repeated announcements. We need housing. We need people to entertain. Not here. We have it here. But it could be here, but by the grace of God. Loving to be with God's people. Just a spiritual renewal. We need it. We need it at Thompson Road. We need it in my home. I need it in my heart. I confess, I need spiritual renewal. I'm not involved in any gross sin. Probably you aren't either, I hope, but it's just those little things that spoil the vines. Little things. Attitude, maybe. Indifference. Skip a day reading the Bible. Less prayer. Thirdly, revival, the deliverance. Unconditional. He's powerful. All he has to do is stretch forth his hand. He's personal. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for our church. He'll do it for any church. He'll do it for any people, any nation even, who cries and calls. And it's always begun with prayer. And as we said, Lord, do it again. We need a third great awakening. The great Spurgeon said, if I were asked to describe the characteristics of a genuine revival, here's what it would be. And by the way, Spurgeon, great preacher. So he demands our attention. He commands it. An uncommon eagerness to hear the Word of God. Eagerness to hear the Word of God. And to be spoken to about the interest of the soul. Secondly, an unusual sense of sin and personal unworthiness, together with a readiness to unite in prayer for pardon and holiness. I'm encouraged there are some people meeting for prayer weekly, small groups. That's encouragement. A deep appreciation of the atoning sacrifice of Christ and a joyful acceptance of Him as personal Savior. Personal consecration and covenanting with God in the Spirit of grace, accompanied by reformation of life and manner. Great delight in secret and social prayer and in all the ordinances of God. An uncommon sense of the nearness of God with joy in the Holy Ghost and abounding thanksgiving and praise. Increased fervor of love and deepening sense of unity amongst Christians. Extraordinary concern for the salvation of others and boldness in the testifying grace of God and His Son Jesus. There's no more that needs to be said about revival than what Spurgeon just so succinctly said in those statements about revival. So I want to just, this is going to be a briefer message because we're going to have the Lord's table, but bring this down to a conclusion by quoting the great New England preacher Jonathan Edwards, who preached the great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Read it from a manuscript and people cried out for mercies from God. There was a great revival there. He said, revival comes, number one, when Jesus Christ is exalted as the Son of God and Savior of men. When the kingdom of God, which encourages the kingdom of Satan, which encourages sin and worldliness, is worked against. There's a greater regard for the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. There's an emphasis upon the spirit of truth as opposed to error. A new love for God and for man is manifested. The key to authentic revival was the fruit that it produced in the lives of believers. So God help us to have that spirit today. Revival, the need, it's here. The solution is Him. The deliverance, it's ours if we just seek His face, pray, turn from our wicked ways, and call upon Him to save us. God of revival, meet us now as on Thy name we call. Forgive our sin. Hear our prayer. Let showers of blessings fall. God of revival, search our hearts and make us pure within. Burn out the dross and purify. Lord, cleanse us from our sin. God of revival, make us one that we may work with Thee. Help us to pray until at last Thy mighty power we see. God of revival, save, we pray. Let not the sinner die. Oh, make us witnesses for Thee. For this we humbly cry. God of revival, help us. Father in heaven, we humbly bow our heads and hearts this morning, a needy people, before a great God who is able to do exceeding abundantly of what we ask or think. Thank you for this statement on the part of the psalmist who said that you could and would revive us by your strength, by your power. You would bring it to us individually, personally. And I believe as a church, as we band together in belief, covenant with each other and before you to renew prayer, the primacy of prayer in our lives, confessing our sins, turning from our wickedness. Lord, help us not to categorize sins as big and little, but sin is sin, and we need to turn from it and be cleansed by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. So help us to humble ourselves, get on our knees, draw a circle around me, and say, Lord, begin the revival with me. Begin it with me. Search me, O God. Try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Help us each individually to pray that humble prayer. Maybe some of us ought to get on our knees at this altar right now and say, oh God, please, I need it. I'm not ashamed to pray and confess right here and get on my knees and seek it, Lord, not to be a show, but just to be before you humble and honest and sincere. I need revival. May our church have that spirit. May we have it as we seek your mind about our direction and our leadership in the future and days ahead and years ahead as you tarry. Help us to be a bright and shining light on the corner of State and Thompson until Jesus comes again. And a church where there is continuing revival, not just once in a while, not just when we have a special meeting with an evangelist, but every day there's something exciting happening here because God is pleased to meet with us and to work upon us and to work through us. And so I pray this all humbly with thanksgiving for what you will do in your sovereign will and purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymnals and sing.